They do square dancing every weekend.
Okay.
That's how you make a nerd, dude. I'm
Square
making
dancing?
unfuckable people. That's what I'm doing.
One of my friends loves square dancing, and every person that square dances thinks they're good at it. I feel like there's a bit somewhere in here. I've never seen anybody that's great at it that says they're good at it. I've like been like, oh damn, that old guy's good. But like people our age, they're like, dude, I'm great at it. I do line dancing every Friday, and then you go
Line
watch it.
dancing?
I don't know what the difference is.
Well, square dancing
Square dancing,
is
I know what it is, but I don't know. Line dancing's like,
in a line.
oh, is it?
Yeah, well, they just do it all together. It's like if you did cha-cha but with boots on.
Yeah,
Cha-cha slide.
Yeah.
Fuck
Those
that.
dances like they do in the club.
Yeah, where they boot scoot.
Boot scoot and boogie.
But the square dancing is when they do it in a square, right? And then
yeah,
have,
no,
like,
I know what square dancing
okay.
is. I thought line dancing and square dancing were closer than they are, apparently.
So this is the thing, is like square dancing, being good at square dancing doesn't mean anything, because it just means you're good at taking orders.
Right.
That's all they're doing, is they're going do-si-do, you know.
So it's just like going to public school again.
So bragging about it isn't like, it's like.
Well, to me, it sounds kind of like when somebody says, I'm a good driver. That just means you pay attention.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all that means you're supposed
to
do. It's not that big of a deal.
No.
Like, there's not that many bad drivers. There's people that aren't paying attention. Most of the time, if you're a bad driver, you're just not trying that hard.
Dude, I expect to sit at a light for 30 seconds after it turns green. Every time now.
I don't want to do that ever.
But there's somebody's on the phone.
Recently, Nick, he's one of the comics I've been working with a lot. He told me that I should have my wife put a finger in my butt when she's sucking my dick. And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, yeah, you support it? I don't know. We argued about it. Dude, we were talking about it for like 10 minutes. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. He's like, it's not gay. I was like, I know it's not gay. Just her thumb works way better. Okay. Now, everybody's done with the pizza. We can fucking bring this next guy up. This guy came all the way from Oklahoma City just to make...
Yeah. Hey guys, how's it going? It's Nick Campbell with Rhythm and Wit. We got Dave behind the camera right now, and with me is Andrew Patterson. What's going on, buddy?
You know the microphone's right here. You can just talk normal.
No, it's just how I talk. Thanks for bringing it up. Thanks for bringing it up, dude. This is just my face, and this is how I talk.
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Anyways, so like I was saying.
So I'm Andrew Patterson, and I talk like this too, off camera. No, I was talking to Matt the other day about this. We're talking to this guy that wants to make some documentaries in town, and we're looking forward to working with him. Hopefully it works out. But I mentioned that as soon as you turn a camera on, Matt knows how to enunciate the way you would to make sure people understand what you're saying to the camera.
Yeah.
And I was like, the biggest thing with Matt is we need a camera way over there where he forgets that there's a camera, and then he's super relaxed. Also, Matt and I have the best conversations I've ever been a part of. After shows, if it's super booked, we go, how do we do this again? Like, if it's like almost oversold, we're like, how do we recreate this? And then if only 10 people show up, we're like, all right, what did we do wrong? How do we make it better? And both those conversations are an hour long.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Just thinking, like, throw some lav mics on, have a dude out in the parking lot with a camera. It'd be cool.
What have you come up with on your most successful nights? What are you doing right?
It's 420. That's one thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Facebook ads don't seem to work on half the shows. I don't believe the impressions that they're giving us. Like, sometimes it'll say we got, like, okay, the Casey Coleman show a couple months back. It had, like, 488 likes on the event.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good turnout. It was fine. But, like, I'll have another one. It'll have one like. And I do the same budget on advertising. The flyers look very similar. Like, I don't know what the difference is.
Ah, man, I have that same problem. I don't know if it's working or not.
Yeah.
But it's not working.
Right.
You know, because I think a little bit of it is like, okay, well, people saw this show come to being and then be finished. And then when I post like, hey, this is us at this show and we had a great time. Then more people are like, hey, man, they kind of get FOMO.
Yeah.
And then you're really planting a seed for future and staying consistent.
Well, do you know Mac? Mac O'Hinson?
Uh-uh.
Dude, great guy to meet. I've never seen him do comedy, but Matt says he's the funniest person.
Where's he out of?
OKC. He does his own thing. He goes out of town, he'll book like a small theater or a bar or whatever, and he'll just rent it out, and he'll put a Facebook ad out, and he'll sell 300 seats all over the place. And I'm like, I've never heard of him, how's that possible? But he's apparently incredible and has this like really tight niche following online, I don't know. Well, what I do know is he's hilarious, but he's also really smart. We were at Enclave in the green room, and he was talking to me about, I was like, hey, what
what can I do to make my shows just where everyone, we have a line, sometimes people miss it, they gotta come to the next one, like where, like audience is never an issue. And he said, well, show people that it's fun to be in the audience. Don't show them a bunch of pictures of comedians telling jokes. That's what they're gonna see. Show them what they would be part of. And then also get people to take selfies, check in. He came up with the idea of like doing like a glamour night where everybody dresses nice and anything to get people to take more selfies and post them. And anything where your friends go, man, I wish I was there for that. Like FOMO. He said, lean into that. But he had like 100 ideas. He's a genius. Like he's quite
what would
literally.
You do? What could you do?
Well, we're doing a glamour show of some sort. We're doing like a, you know, we haven't come up with a name or a plan, but people love themes. So we're going to do like a, we might do like even like a masquerade or a 20s night or something. Like a dress a certain way. But I don't think a lot of people are going to participate in that. Like I love the costume idea. I just don't know how many people are actually going to be down.
Yeah.
But just dress up, wear your Sunday best. I think a lot of people will participate. And then get, I'm trying to line up comics that I think would look good, dress nice, and understand what dressing nice means. And like the lineup I have right now would be Mac. I think we're going to talk to Will Davis about it because I feel like he would just look good in a suit. Like Will a couple Davis, people yeah. that would really do it up. And then go the comics.
Will Burnson too.
Oh, dude.
Dude. He, with those locks? He's with Irish those luxurious with locks?
Yeah, that is a good one. But yeah, so the idea is get people that are that look good, dress nice, and wear your absolute best clothing, and then have a big photo backdrop. And when people get there, go, hey, would you like a complimentary photo? And just have Brandy snap like four or five of them. Mm-hmm. And then you get their email or their phone number. So you can put them on your list to contact later to push shows to them.
Nice.
And you go, we're just going to send a Google Drive to you. It'll be, you know, it'll be up for however long and then you can download it and you got your high quality, nice picture. Just please remember to tag us when you post it. And then like that, I think long term, those things will work. Short term, it's just, I mean, dude, weather matters a lot. If there's a rodeo in town, we're screwed. If there's
too many things. Do you have to watch for those?
Dude, there's only like 2 a year, so it's not.
Rodeos?
Yeah, there's the Lawton Rangers rodeo is huge, though. I mean, it's like restaurants are all dead. Like, it's just that night,
really?
Everybody's out there. I mean, the population's maybe 100,000 here. I bet over the 3 days or whatever, there's probably 45,000 people at that rodeo.
Do you go out there too?
No.
No? Okay. No. I'm just trying to see what, see what we're doing.
No. I mean, I would if I hated animals, but I like them. I think they're cool.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's bad to go to rodeo. I just can't get behind it. I've talked to Matt about that because he used to ride bulls. And he's like, dude, they're not hurting them at all. I'm like, it's just hard to look at it. It doesn't, it looks like they're hurting them. I don't know. Like, but when you talk about like the flank strap or whatever, apparently it's just like irritating and tickling right there. Like it's not, it looks like they tied their nuts.
Yeah.
That's but he said it really doesn't hurt them. And I believe him.
Well, they want you off of them.
Yeah.
So that's well, definitely like.
It's not fun for them, but it's not torture, I think is what he said.
Well, that's wild, dude. Okay, well, let's start right from the beginning. What made you start?
Oh, we're doing the Comedy Avenue thing?
The Comedy Avenue, yeah.
All right. So
you started in your tattoo shop, right?
Yeah, I started at 32. So it was called Comedy at 32 because it was just going to be like an open mic at first. The idea was before I ever started doing comedy, I went to Dublin and I saw the craziest show I've ever seen. It was still like the only show I've seen that I think was a better show was Theo Von at the Paramount Theater. But it's a basement called Comedy Crunch. It's free, they give you free ice cream. Drinks cost like normal, you know, $5 to $8 for drinks. There's no drink minimum, but they know people are gonna drink. So the bar's cool with it, because they're like, dude, we're gonna make $1,200 tonight.
No.
And then the comics are, like Bill Burr goes there. I mean, it's not like nobody. The guy that hosts it, Danny O'Brien's an absolute killer. And I just was blown away by it. So when I started doing comedy, I was like, well, you start with open mics. You do all the things you've seen people do that you know exist. So I went to Looney Bin, and I'm, you know, then after Pat Ferris showed me an open mic after Looney Bin, I think it was The Pump was the first mic I did that was, I went to, Matt Rainey told me about the one at Ugly Flamingo, or Pink Flamingo? Is it
Ugly? Where you? No, it's Ugly Flamingo.
Ugly Flamingo.
New Shit mic?
Yeah, I went to that, I went to New Shit, and I bombed. Also, like, I thought there was no people there because I didn't realize what an open mic was outside of a club. There's like 15 people there. And I was doing the thing you should never do. Not only shitting on the plates, shitting on the mic immediately. I was like, dude, I want to do crowd work, but there's nobody here. And everybody looked at me like I'm crazy. And I was like, oh, dude, 16 people is a lot of people for a little open mic. Like, they were doing good.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was thinking like I was used to Looney Bin crowds where there's 40 to 80 people. So that was weird. But anyway, all this happens. I keep doing it. I'm driving from a lot in Oklahoma City. I go over and over and realize I'm spending 3 to 6 hours minimum to spend 4 to 10 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
Like it's one mic or two mics. That was it. So I just wanted an open mic in town. I just wanted something. And I was like, I'll model my open mic after Comedy Crunch. Free stuff, like free show, free pizza, you know, give people something and then ask for donations on the way out. The first show, we got like $600 in donations. Nice. It was a huge, like, huge success.
When was the first show?
That was 8 months after I started doing comedy. So 3 years will be June, or I'm sorry, 3 years. Yeah, 3 years is June 9th. So, I mean, almost 2 years ago, or around really 2 years good. Ago. Like, it's been a while, but the point is, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just was like, okay, this is what I've seen people do. So I modeled it after Comedy Crunch, and I gave them credit at the show. Like, at the end of it, I was like, hey, I really appreciate everybody coming out. This is where I got the idea. This is what it was. And then multiple people were like, keep doing this. This is great. I haven't seen any of those people at another show.
That's awesome, dude.
We got so many compliments. This one lady gave us $100. She goes, you're amazing. This was great. Keep doing it. Lawton needs this. Like, all this great stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Hopefully I'll see you at the next one. We're trying to do one in about 3-4 weeks. And she goes, oh, I'll be here. Never seen that lady since. And I would remember her because she gave us $100 and talked to me for 10 minutes. Like,
yeah,
you would remember that lady.
Is it everybody that donates to Comedy Avenue dies? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what happened?
Now we force donations.
Now you force donations?
Why'd you knock the light over, dude?
Hey, man, I'll fix these.
Okay. No, so now we just charge 10 bucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it started there. The idea was like, Lawton needs it. The driving proportion, we'll just ignore that and see what happens. Let me scoot over here. I hope this doesn't mess up the shot. We gotta have a dog in the shot. It just makes it more appealing. Makes it more appealing. Hop up.
That's a tiny horse. What about you? You trying to get up here?
All right, where were we? Comedy Crunch.
Comedy Crunch. People.
Oh yeah,
showing back.
Yeah, we did 32.
That one lady died.
Yeah, the one lady died because she donated. Mm-hmm. But we did 32 for a while, and it was
that at a different shop?
Yeah. Like, okay. Did you never go to that?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Know that.
It was 17 feet by 50 feet, and the only way we could put the stage where you could get to the bathroom was where it's just a hallway, dude. It was a terrible layout. Yeah. So we would have half the shop is tattoo stuff. So we put a big curtain down, cutting that 17 down to about 10. We'd put rows of chairs where they're 3 chairs wide and just enough room to walk to the bathroom. All our sound equipment was behind the curtains. And like, we just wired stuff into where there's tape down the cords for the PA system, and then there's just speakers behind the curtains. And comics would hide behind the curtains so that they could get to the stage without disrupting everybody. And then we had a little spot in the back where we had this bench that I wish we still had. Actually, the place is a grooming place now. We can go see if they have it. But we had this bench that everybody signed that, like, I made a bench because we didn't have a room. So there's, like, this little tiny chunk in the back where everybody just sits on the bench. And, dude.
Waits their turn.
It worked. But one bathroom, bathroom's at the back. Stage is close to the bathroom. So you got to go by the stage to pee. It's a whole thing. So when I was going to remodel my shop, I obviously was like, well, a big square would be better than a big hallway. And I just, basically the budget to make it a comedy club was an extra $2,000. It's like a PA system, build a stage, get some curtains. The flooring's going to be the same. The look of the place is going to be the same. It doesn't really make a difference. So it wasn't like I was spending a ton of extra money to remodel around the idea of comedy. Sorry about that. This is going to be a very...
Captain Chaos strikes again.
What are those things where they go, it's appealing because it's real.
It's real.
It's real. Yeah. But I was just trying to keep them from being a problem. I figure if they're here getting petted, they'd be good. Do you hear him breathing?
Yeah, that's... he doesn't have long.
R.I.P. Big Dog.
Yeah. So you're saying like... did you move shops?
Yeah, so altogether? I had two shops. So I had Avenue since 2016. Okay. And I had 32 because I had 7 artists working for me at Avenue and we only had 5 booths. So I just opened another shop. Me and Jason worked there. Like I opened a shop and hired Jason. And dude, you're causing a problem. This is not about you, okay? I'm just playing. Everything's about you, buddy. I'm sorry. I heard his feelings. Okay, so we had the 2 shops and one was a private studio. So that's why it was easy to use for shows because it was appointment only. We don't have business hours. We're not listed on, like, we don't have a listed phone number or anything. It's literally just, when you get an appointment with me, I send you this address. That's all it was there for. But when I had 7 people working there, that made sense. And then I had, we're not gonna go into specifics as to why, but I had to remove 3 people in one day, and one was leaving to open a shop in Abilene. So now we're down big numbers to small numbers. Mm-hmm. So I closed 32, but I used 32. We all worked at 32 while I remodeled Avenue. Pulled everything out, gutted the place, redid everything. Brand new electrical, brand new plumbing, brand new flooring. There was a crack in the concrete. We cut out a big chunk of concrete. Like, we really went in on that place. The only thing I couldn't do was the roof, because it's like the whole place.
Yeah.
And then we just made it where like half of it's a comedy club. You close the doors, you're in a club. Like, I mean, yeah. Now that you've seen it, like, have you been in the other booths or seen like how it is as a tattoo shop?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen the other side.
Okay. Because yeah. It's like, I mean, some people have just seen my booth, or some people have been in our closet. It depends on how much you've been there. Yeah. A lot of people come out of our closet. It's a big, we do that every June. It's when you come out. It's a Pride awareness or something like
just
that.
Just that one closet?
Yeah, everybody comes out of the closet.
A lot of dudes out there, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Dude, we need to get a door on the other side so we can just walk through the closet. It's like a ceremony, like, hey, I'm out.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be a fun show. Do a Pride show where, like, if you come out, you get a free t-shirt.
If you
you're like, hey, come out and get a free t-shirt. And they're like, okay, we'll come.
That's incentivizing.
Like, no, yeah. You need to come out of the club, not come to the show. We can't give everybody a shirt. You have to admit you're gay.
Yeah.
And then the show is just a bunch of people going, I really wanted a t-shirt, so I guess I'm going to try it.
Maybe that's how you do it. You just like, all right, man, when you come out, you get like a baby shower.
Dude, I would love that.
The equivalent of a baby shower.
Yeah, because, I mean, dude, I know a guy that he's definitely gay. He's like 40-something. He's never had a really long-term girlfriend, but he's had girlfriends. But you know he's gay.
Yeah.
And they find out he's gay. And then he doesn't have a girlfriend anymore. And it's really sad to watch. Like, it's really, it's rough. Like,
does he show interest?
In guys?
Yeah.
No, he pretends he hates gay people. Like, he's very into church, and he's like a big tough guy. He's like, oh yeah, gay people, ew, gross. And like, meantime, he's proof you can't choose it. Like, he doesn't want to do it, but he gotta do it.
Well, that's what things can we do to help him make that easier on him? You know, where's he live?
Have a pride show.
Where's he at?
I don't want to say where he lives.
No, but this is between us. Like,
he lives at 1401 Southwest 37th Street, Oklahoma.
If you guys can get over there.
His name is Richard Allen Jackson. I'm joking about Jackson.
Allen Jackson?
His name's Richard Allen Jackson III.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
Dude, he doesn't like the hoochie, though. He likes the smoochie with a doochie. No, I don't know. This is not about Avenue at all. We got off track.
Yeah, no, we're good.
I didn't know what the plan was. I'm just
so kidding. The Comedy Avenue, so you got it all together, and then the goal was to basically, hey, I need a spot to play.
So that was two things. I need a spot to play. Also, I get really annoyed when people say they don't like stand-up comedy. And then my follow-up question is always the same. Have you ever seen a live show? Guess what the answers have been 100% of the time.
No.
No, never seen it. That'd be like if you're like, I don't like movies. Have you been to the movie theater? No, I just watch them on my phone. Like, what are you talking about? You've never been to a theater and see, dude, hey, hey, people don't like that sound, okay? This is a podcast or a video or something. This is very professional. You see all these cameras, you see the production,
yeah.
You see the crew, you see that lady over there with her boobs out to keep us, you know.
Be respectful, dude.
Be respectful.
Be respectful.
He's right. Like, dude, this is the
God,
best.
God, you're just the goodest boy.
He's so cute. I have a really bad relationship with this dog because he can control me because he's so cute, but I get worn out. I'm just tired of his shit every day.
Yeah. Do they sleep with you?
So that one sleeps in the bed, but she waits till we're asleep. I wake up with her every day, but I never go to sleep with her. This dude sleeps right next to my bed, and he makes ridiculous noises and farts all night. He's like, dude, I can't pee without stepping over him, and he's just like, like every 20 seconds, you can hear it. It's ridiculous. I've never seen a dog fart more than this guy. He's killing the game. We've said kill too much. This can't go on YouTube. It's gonna get demonetized.
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, there's a lot of things. If you wanna get paid, it's a thing. You have to wait a certain amount of time to cuss, and you have to bleep out like a lot of words that, in my opinion, aren't offensive at all. No, like cuss words aren't the issue. It's like, it's verbs usually. Yeah. It's usually a verb, like something you could do. That's what verbs are. I watched Disney Channel when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the term, like, you hear people say,
do you really?
You haven't heard it in real life, real humans say,
I. I've heard it, but I didn't know
that's
that was
where
alive.
It comes from. They watch so much YouTube that in the real world, they're like, yeah, he got unalived. And I'm like,
it's like that's,
this
that's,
is America.
That's a bigger
YouTube.
Word.
Yeah. Like, don't add words. But yeah, the idea was.
That's where we're at now. But you can go watch John Wick just smite fools on you Netflix.
You can watch him remove the lives of all of these individuals.
Yeah, well, they did kill that dog, so.
And I mean.
Somebody takes out your dog.
You said the K word.
Oh, did
so I? Yeah, you did.
Unalive, yeah.
If somebody took out this dog, I would be very upset, but also I would probably sleep in more. So
yeah,
I don't know if I'd go on an unaliving spree.
Let me know.
No, don't. Don't do it, he's a sweetie.
Let me know what you're going with.
But no, so it was that, and I really thought, like, now I will say, 90% of it, I want stage time, I want to be able to do a repeated show that I enjoy doing, and I want something steady. Like, I think steady practice is good. But the thing is, these shows are, like, one a year is gonna be about me, but these shows are never really about me. I'm just hosting most of them, or if I'm not hosting, I'll do, like, 10 or 15 minutes. I just want a little stage time. I think hosting's great because I do 10 and then, or sometimes 15, and then I'll go back up and do a minute between a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, dude, it adds up to like 18 minutes or something. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So yes, for practice, and yes, to get better, but also like, I really truly believe Lawton needs a lot more things. And one of them, we need like a fun place, like a Dave and Buster's that just normal people can go, that you don't have to have a drinking problem to enjoy it. Yeah. Like, you can still drink. They sell beer at Dave & Buster's. You just don't have to be an alcoholic. But all of our things are geared around alcoholism. Not the option of drinking is here. Like, there's a bar in town that had an open mic for a little while. And I went to it every time I could. And every time I walked in the door, I immediately was like, oh, it's just rough. Because it's a sad level of drinking. It's not like they're having fun. Like, these people all have a problem. They've been here since 4 and they're all wasted. And you're like, dude, the same people again? Like, y'all just live here and just get drunk every day? And that's like the best thing to do in town, though, is go get drunk at a bar. Like, there's nothing to do.
Is that people's Friday, Saturday nights?
That's people's Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
But, like, seriously, it's every day of the week. Except Sundays, like, so Scooters is more of a, you know, hang out, dance, have fun. Like, everybody goes there. Like, kind of a well-rounded place. They're closed on Sundays, so our shows being on Sundays works out great. But, I feel like we needed stand-up comedy. I wanted my clients, especially the people I talked to that said that they don't like comedy. I was like, dude, just come to a show. Most of them are free. Now they're 10 bucks, whatever. Like, I'll get you in free, even if it's not. Come watch it, because this is just the level that's available here. Mm-hmm. Like, now I will say, most of the comics we get, at least half of them, I would say can go toe-to-toe with some like big-name comics. But nobody knows who they are. So like, you're working with a huge advantage when you walk out and everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Where these guys are, generally speaking, we get, say, at least half the comics we get. I would rather watch them than most famous people. So start out there, but let's say it's not the case. Let's say it's just the average from just your average Oklahoma City comic. It's still really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I just want people to watch it. I want people to give it a shot, and I want people to see it. And if they don't like it, that's great. But, like, you tried. But, again, it's... Like, I would be really upset with somebody if they said, I don't like tattoos. And I go, have you ever seen one in person? They go, oh, I've seen pictures on Instagram. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But you haven't even seen what it is. You've just seen a shitty square representation of it. Buddy?
Well, so you ran Comedy Avenue. Do people kind of recognize that as the place to go for comedy around town?
I don't think that many people know about it, to be honest. I'm, like, with tattooing, I always thought I was really good at marketing. And, I mean... I still believe I'm good at marketing tattoos, but tattoos are so visual, it's easy to sell. It's like you go, this is what we do. Here's a picture or a video. This is exactly what it is. I don't know how to sell comedy because what you get when you're in person, you can't capture in a video. There's no microphones or cameras that will give you that same experience. Mm. Like if they could have like a vibe meter you strap to yourself and like contagion laughs thing, like,
or you got a vibe meter?
A vibe meter.
How would that feel? I kind of...
You wear that at the house,
yeah.
And then you watch it on Netflix and you feel the vibe of the room. You go, oh,
yeah.
There's this bitch eyeball.
She's nice.
Yeah. It's always, somebody's always got a little, like, I don't even want to say sexual tension. There's something going on in the room where there's at least two people connecting always. Like, two people that didn't know each other.
Like before. Twister.
Yes, exactly.
Two people connecting.
Like Naked Dude, I'm trying to pet you.
Yeah.
You're ruining the video. Look how sad he is.
Look how sad he is, dude. Look what you just did. You just destroyed his soul. There he is.
He's a golden retriever. They forget to be mad. He's like, I was mad about.
What was I mad about?
What's bacon? Like, damn. He's like that bacon commercial, the bacon, whatever dog treats.
Bacon.
All right. Where I dude, this is
no, I love ADHD. This. This is great. Because I'm super perfect. Interested in trying to just develop a spot or develop an Core. Audience or
dude.
Like, I'm that one, the venue does a good job of like helping us with mm-hmm. Cork. And then also it's downtown.
Yeah.
And a lot of people from out of town look at the events pages of that area and then they'll usually pick it. There's a lot of stuff to do downtown.
But. So they pick that area and they go, well, if this isn't as fun as it looks, we have 12 options of walking distance. So we don't have to go to the car, we just walk across the street. Or,
but usually once they get there, they're like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And the best part is I can go out if there's not anybody or if like there's not a great crowd and I can just start pulling people from, like I'll start barking. I'll be like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing over here?
We had a show one time, Wayne Morris wanted to run his set one more time before we did a show at Hyenas. And he was like, dude, I just want to make sure we're all super tight, so let's just do a show. I was like, great. The problem is the show is Saturday. I work every day until Saturday, and it's fucking Tuesday, man. I don't know when or how we're going to do the show. He goes, let's do it after work. I was like, we all finished working at like 8, 9, 10. And there's no telling. He's like, we'll do it like 11:30.
A show that late?
We did a show at midnight on a Thursday night, I believe. It was getting close to the weekend. It might have been a Friday. I think it was Thursday. We advertised it as much as we could in the 4 days that we had to advertise it. Literally nobody showed up. So I got the banner that we put out by the road and I went out in the road and I just like, I said some outrageous things to people turning around the corner. I was like, come on, we'll suck your dick, get in here. Dude, we had 7 people. And that show was lit, dude.
Yeah, dude.
It was litty titty.
How many dicks you have to suck?
I didn't suck any.
Go Wayne, what's up?
Yeah, Wayne did a good job. Wayne took care of that. But no, the one thing that was really fun, there was a young adult. I was like, not that I'm gonna matter, I'm not gonna kick you out because we need you, but how old is this kid? And she was like, he's 20. I was like, okay. If he really is 20, that's cool. If not, I just want you to know what this is gonna be. He's gonna hear some things that if he's as young as he looks, she's like, he's 20. I don't care, he's my son, but he's 20. Like, who cares? I was like, all right, cool. I'm not gonna ask for an ID, let's do this. And then I went into a 4-minute crowd work bit about what type of pornography he probably prefers with his mom sitting next to him. And they loved it, but he was a little uncomfortable for half of it. But like, it was so. I was like, yeah, you know what kids are watching these days. He's 20. He's probably watching all kinds of stuff that I couldn't handle. And then I started describing it in a way I'm not gonna do on this video.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. She thought it was great. I don't think they've come back either. But that was my fault.
Yeah. I like the idea of dragging them out from the street and then like berating them when they get in. Thanks for showing up. We really appreciate you. Also, you probably look at this kind of porn.
Free pizza. But no, the thing is like, generally speaking, I want everybody to have a fun time and I want everybody to come back. And most of the shows we have, people do come back. Like most people we've had come back. For some reason, the first show didn't go that way. And that show, everybody was happy. Like everybody left, they were like, this was incredible. I think it's because they came in with really low expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, that's got to be part of it. It's like a tattoo shop open mic. What are you talking about? But, like, everybody did great. The show went a little long. It's probably 2.5 hours. Nobody complained about anything except the chairs. Like, I did have a few people go, man, if these chairs were more comfortable, I would sit for 2 of these shows. But nobody had a complaint except, ouch, folding chairs on my butt.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's fine. Also, that was 32 chairs at the time, and that's how many people we had seated. We had more people standing. Like, we shouldn't have put 32 in there. We should have put, like, 22.
Yeah.
2014 would be.
So you think, well, that, I mean, your room is kind of small, but it's.
My new room's, like, twice as big.
Yeah, than the old room.
Yeah. Yeah, the old one was really small. This one, we can pretty easily put 40, but I still think 30, 35 max is, like, the comfort zone.
I like that. Like, they're close, they're intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's you can't get far away from
they're
the
on the stage
there.
With you, basically.
Yeah, which, it's I mean, nice. If you go to, like, clubs like Breaktown, like, you can put your knees on the stage from the front row. Addison Improv, I accidentally put my feet on the stage every time I've been there. If I'm in the front row, I can't not put my feet on the stage. And then a comic comes out, I'm like, oh shit, my bad. I'm trying, like, it's just where my feet go.
Mm.
Because your feet are touching the base of the stage and your knees are like cramped up because you're so close. I love that.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know if the audience is all of that. I think we have to remember that. Like, I think a lot of comics are thinking the same way. Like, I'm always just like, dude, that was great. There were 100 people in a 40-seater. Let's go.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I think we need to figure out how to make people more comfortable. And, like, I think a big thing is get people over that fear of the front row by not saying anything that doesn't make them have a better time. Like usually when we do crowd work and stuff, one person didn't have a good time, but the others did. But now what I'll try to do is I'll go like, hey, couple, okay, she's good looking. How'd you pull that off? Oh, well, I mean, you dress nice, like some compliments.
Oh, yeah, I see.
But work them into funny stuff where the people are like, oh, he was being really nice. He just said like he thinks they have a huge dick. That's not that bad. It's a little embarrassing, but it's fine. And then he said, well, I'm Puerto Rican, so I got to be laying the pipe. That's true. Puerto Rican's winning. You know, and like whatever, if you can lean into the things that are funny or funnier, as funny or funnier than being mean and be nice, my theory is they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, I don't want to, I mean, I can't afford to have somebody not want to come back either. We need audiences. Or like in a bigger city, you could, you know, you lose one a show, one a night.
How many people are here on average?
It says 100,000, but like 20 of that's Fort Sill. And we're having a really hard time tapping into the Fort Sill market. But also,
I figured they would want to come and watch.
I've talked to about 100 Army guys, and they're like, yeah, this is not my thing. I was like, stand-up comedy's not your thing? Like, have you ever been to a show? And they're like, no, I don't want to try it. And they'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not interested in that at all. It'd be like if you said, hey, we're going to a place where we watch people just milk cows all day. And I'd be like, male or female? And they're like, oh, well, technically they're bulls. Like, yeah. Probably stay out of that. They have the same exact reaction I would to comedy, like to that, as like with comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you heard of Andrew Schultz? And they're like, no. Bill Burr?
Just,
no.
Just unhappy people.
I mean, the military does like them to be a little beat down and exhausted. Especially the lower like enlisted people. I think that's kind of part of their, I'm gonna say business model is worn out. Like the same thing as like factory workers at Goodyear, they don't want you to know that you could get another job. Like they want you to be delirious all the time. Mm-hmm. So they really do make your schedule so complicated that you can't plan without remembering your job. And you have to have like everybody that works at Goodyear has their calendar, like their whole calendar. They have an app, but they also have like a calendar printed off somewhere. And if you go, hey, can you do tomorrow afternoon? They're like, let me see. You're like, you don't know if you're available tomorrow. They're like, I might be at work. I might not. I don't know. They just, it's like they can't, their schedule's impossible. So it's crazy.
That's evil. I mean, yeah. Dude, you want to get into some conspiracy stuff, dude.
No, okay. I can tell you, there's psychology in why they do this.
Yeah, they do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, nobody, like, the divorce rate out there is like 90% or something crazy. Like, once you get a job there, you're getting divorced. It's like just the rules. It's just the best paying normal job. You can go apply, you fill out paperwork, they go, you're hired, we'll train you. No credentials required, and will make you a great employee.
Mm.
So it's the best option for most people. Like if you don't have a very special skill, like if you're an electrician, you're fine. But if you're like, I mean, you can only make so much as a waiter. You can be the best waiter in town. You're not gonna make $120,000 a year here.
Yeah.
So if you wanna make more money, you go to Goodyear and then you get a divorce and then you buy like 6 ATVs and that's all on credit. And then they know you're gonna do that because it's the culture out there. And then can't leave.
That's the rest of your life. Right?
It really is. Dude, you ask anybody, every person I've met at Goodyear is a career person. Like they're a career Goodyear person. They're like a lifer, or they work there like 2 years and they're like, dude, I'm just gonna be poor.
Like, at least I get to live my life.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
no. Well, that's the same thing they did whenever they tied our healthcare to the jobs.
Yeah.
You remember? And then anytime you have to move, you have to make a whole plan. Okay. Well, I can't get sick for 3 months.
Yep.
You know, if anything does happen, I'll have to like eat a banana and get over it.
Yeah. Dude, if a banana would fix it, I'd be eating a lot of bananas. Also, I like eating them in public because it makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just go all in?
I just eat it in one shot. Oh, I don't chew, I just swallow. Just one, you know.
Hey, man, you got a good closet.
So, well, the thing is, if you start this way, it doesn't go. You can't have it, you got to curve it this way. You got to have it, and
yeah,
you slide it right.
That's why 69 works so well.
Yes.
Yeah.
65 doesn't work at all.
L7's real great.
L7's pretty cool. This is a square. I don't even know what that means. No, I'm like, what parts are touching?
Do you ever just run into a wall with your dick? It's like that.
Actually, that's what I do in the morning usually.
That's a wake up.
Which, have you ever had it so excited to be alive in the morning that when you did your morning pee, there was no option to like bend over so you had to pee in the sink?
You didn't go bathtub? You were like, you didn't go like, yeah. Hold on, I got one of these, but over there and it's bigger.
I had one. I was like, should have been shower. I should have just been in the shower. It wouldn't go away and it was pointed straight at the ceiling. I couldn't bend it. And I peed for like a minute 30, dude. It was
give me 15 long minutes. Pee. Give me 15 minutes. Hold on a second. I'm about to get this. Turn camera on me. She's what?
She's Puerto Rican.
Is she?
Yeah.
No wonder I like her.
No, what I mean is if you pet another woman, she'll fuck your shit up.
Oh, would she really?
Dude, she's such a sweet dog.
Oh my God.
She'll piss on the carpet or chew something up if she catches you with another dog. She's so jealous.
Dude, and Liz does that.
This guy. It's so funny though. Like I wrote a joke about it one time. I was like, I think my dog's Puerto Rican because the other day she caught me petting another dog. And she didn't say anything, but she fucked up my entire house and locked me out and killed me. But, like I can't remember. Like I obviously she didn't kill me, but I had she didn't unalive
that's
me.
Love,
dude. They're passionate people.
Yeah, I'm a halfie. I'm half Mexican.
That's not Puerto Rican at all.
No, not at all. But
that means you can work.
I like to think that's where I get my
work ethic.
I think so. Okay. And I love siestas. I love a good siesta.
Is that a nap? That's a
yeah. Yeah. Nap. Well, in my language.
Okay, yeah. Yes. All right, let's have a conversation in Spanish real quick.
I can't. Okay. All I know is Duolingo.
Negro?
Hey, man. What the hell?
Rosa.
Yeah, that's...
Azul.
I was like, what the hell kind of show are we doing, dude? Like... Now let me try.
Puta. Dude, I love when Asher plays Call of Duty and we play with some Mexican dudes, like they just, you know, the chat thing's just going nuts. Usually his mic's off and we're ignoring it. But he'll turn the audio on for the other guys just so we can hear what they're saying. And they'll get killed and then they'll go, puta madre. So one time I just turned his mic on and I go, me gusta chichis negras. And you just hear 10 Mexicans at the same time die laughing. They were like, clearly this guy's white as fuck. And they're probably thinking it's a kid that has no idea what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because I have a not very masculine voice, as I've been told. I got called ma'am to my face recently. Usually that's only at Sonic.
You got called ma'am.
I was like, this is rough, dude. They were talking to me. They turned around and they said ma'am. They'd already decided and it was too late.
What the?
I was like, I don't even sound like a girl.
The worst part is, it's like the only benefit of having a bald head is that everybody should know that you're a dude at that point. You
but
know?
I could marry Will Smith and then they, you know.
You get what?
I could marry Will Smith and then they would be confused.
Yeah.
Because that's the other you're bald
right.
man.
You're right.
Dude, my favorite ad I've ever heard on a podcast, Theo Vaughn goes, male pattern baldness, it's a problem. People deal with it. Will Smith husband, he got it. I was like, oh my God.
Will Smith husband.
It was like, it was very timely. It was like a week after the thing happened. It was like one of those like Roman or whatever. They give you like boner pills and hair in the same service. You don't need to know about any of that.
Is it,
They got him. He knows. He's like, I've looked into it.
I need anti-boner pills. You got, was that? It hasn't been strong like it was when it was 20.
So an anti-boner pill, this is just my opinion, I think would be any foul smell. I think if you just had like something awful in your bedroom, you would wake up with a softie. Or you get used to it and then that would turn you on. What if you start doing this when you have a crazy raging boner? You do a thing to like Pavlov? I couldn't say that, thank you.
Yeah.
To Pavlov yourself into like, this is now what turns me on. And you have like very specific things like, okay, you have the most raging boner ever when you wake up in the morning. So then you just put on like Juice WRLD. And until
what's a Juice WRLD?
Juice WRLD's a rapper. Okay. So he's dead now. But anyway, you just put on the same song every time, like Robbery by Juice WRLD every time. And then eventually when Robbery by Juice WRLD comes on, it just goes pow.
Well,
and then when you're old, you have control.
This is what I used to do. When I was younger, my parents would leave me at the house, right?
That's where
yeah, belong. Right? Yeah. And they would go to work and then I would leave like 30, 40 minutes after. Yeah, right? It was an opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, and you take it. It's also the same time Murder, She Wrote came on.
So now when you watch Murder, She Wrote.
Now if I watch Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Dude, Walker, Texas Ranger gets me going.
Does it really?
Yeah. I was homeschooled. That was on all day. I'm just like.
I'm surprised Xena Warrior Princess. You didn't go with that one? Or?
We didn't have that option. We had one channel. I don't know how many new channels. I didn't know how to change it. I was too busy jacking off.
I was like, where's the remote?
I don't know.
It's like, nobody. You don't know when they're going to come home.
Dude,
back then, there was nobody.
There's no texting. Hey, we're on our way home. Put that thing away.
You put the trash can in front of the door and you wait for the sound.
Dude, so you do. But what I would watch shows like that. And then when I used to work at Chili's tying balloon animals, I would come home and I would watch Monk. And I would flat iron, I'd use a flat iron to straighten out all my ones because people would just give me tips and I just stuff it in an apron. So I would flat iron all those and stack up perfect, neat little stacks and watch the show Monk. And I developed like a little bit of OCD because of it. I'm not even joking. Like I got like, I was making my money perfect while watching a guy with OCD for 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
So I would get.
Dude, Monk sounds like something you would watch.
It's a great, I still watch it. I'll like, if I want to go to sleep to something, I'll turn Monk on.
Cause Monk
like,
is solid. It's a solid one.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not gonna
Psych
like,
was then, and Psych was a good one too.
Psych was pretty good. Yeah, I watched an episode of Psych with the kids, and I don't know if the pineapple thing is related to swinging, but have you seen how many pineapples are in that show?
Uh-uh.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. There's a pineapple in every scene. Like, they just, there'd just be a pineapple behind your head right now.
They just do that all the time.
I have no idea. They're all right set up though.
Yeah.
So that's good. Like, you know how much work it would be to like always have a pineapple in every shot?
Dude, I don't understand why you want to, like when people do, you're going out for more. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna disappoint more people.
Well, that's the thing. These
and now there's confident. Dudes involved. There's competition.
These people are very confident. Also, like I talked to one swinger one time about. He introduced me to one of his friends. I shook this guy's hand and I was like, that dude has some weight behind his wiener. I just know.
Just the weight.
This guy's like 6'4", huge muscles. His hands are the size of my whole face. Just dude. And then I found out that that guy has plowed his wife, and his wife still likes him. So settle.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was like, dude,
no,
that guy's
give me a room full of goofballs.
Yeah.
You know.
Just give me normal.
Yeah.
My thing is, I'm not even worried about competition or disappointing people. I'm worried about hygiene. I gotta like, I'm pretty picky, and also I'm tired. I only really have enough time to give it to her about 4 times a week. So.
Woe is you. 4 times a week? You're on 4 times a week, on the regs?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on 4 times a week on the regs.
Yeah.
Like this week alone.
Like this week we're at one because she.
But are we like 5 minutes, 6 to 3?
So she went backpacking, and then she came home and she said, in her own words, "Boy, you gonna get it tonight."
Oh.
And then she took a bath, got all prettied up, and then laid down and said, "Hey, can we postpone? Because I'm very." And I was like, "You've been camping for 3 days with a backpack."
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cool. But then fast forward, we got nasty. It was a good time.
Good job,
we
got to
get back in the rhythm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say a good week is 5. A great week is 6. Never 7. And a bad week is 3. Like, I don't. So yeah, I'd say that average
that's
is a 4.
Good,
yeah,
dude. It's good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good
and
job,
if you're talking actual intercourse, 5 minutes is very generous. But if you're talking the whole ordeal, we get a good 20 to 40 in there.
Every week, 20 to 40. That's 20, 40 hours. No, not hours. Minutes.
So that's, let's just say it's 30 each.
30,
that's
yeah.
2 hours a week.
That's all you need a week for that's exercise.
2 hours a week. I'm not exercising the whole time. Sometimes I'm laying on my side just going.
You're right.
There's not too much to it. You can grab a booty cheek, watch Monk.
You ever just try to do what the vibrator does? You're just like.
Yeah. You know? Because I get jealous of sex toys. So I like sometimes I go. What if she gets one of those roses that sucks and twirls and swirls and vibrates and shakes and calls your mom? Like, that's a lot of stuff to do for one.
Yeah.
It's got Wi-Fi. Like, I
don't
know.
What's it for?
You put it on your cooter.
And then you just walk out the door?
You just strap it. I have something on my shirt. That's dog slobber. We're good. I'm going to tuck that up like that. You just put it on your cooter and lay down and just watch Murder, She Wrote, and then you're done.
Oh.
Call back. You're welcome. Anyway, I get, in case she wanted that, if I'm at a gig, use it. But like, I just imagine one day I'm gonna walk out of the shower and she's gonna just be like, and I'm gonna be like, oh dude, so I gotta compete.
Yeah.
So I think of sex toys the same way I would think of like my opponent in a sport. And I go, I just have to outplay them in every way. And then I go, well, I cannot make my dick bigger and I'm not gonna get in shape. So those two things are out. So yeah, I've tried to basically have a seizure. You know, if you squeeze tight enough, you start vibrating.
Yeah.
You can't do that with your tongue out. I've tried. You can't. You'll bite your tongue off, dude. You'll rip it off.
I can't. I'm trying that next time. It's that's 100%.
Is this still about Comedy Avenue?
I don't even care anymore. No, we're happy. No, listen, we found what we wanted to talk about.
Dude.
Yeah.
We need to just have like a...
The revolving closet.
Revolving closet's great. Dude, if you had one of those, like the revolving door, but you had it inside a closet and it like, it says the closet and it exits one way, but then the entrance is there's two and they come in like this and you just told people like free stuff inside. You could make a video of 100 people coming out and be like, look at all these wonderful people. And every time that you just clap and celebrate, everybody's like, hell yeah, I'm winning. And then you post it on Instagram and they're like, I think he said we're all gay.
Yeah.
I think there's a really elaborate ruse to make us all say we're gay. But then, three or four of them were gay. Statistically speaking, there's probably, if you got 100, there's probably three closeted homosexuals in there, and now they're free. Because then people are like, hey, I heard about the thing, you know?
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when my buddy Trey offered me money to practice on my wiener, like if I was gay, I would have tested it out and made money. So we could help these people out.
Yeah.
This would be the
coolest charity.
Sometimes
you just need to know
ever.
What's possible.
Yeah. You just need to know
this
your
is the
audience.
Coolest charity ever. Is
dude,
it a charity?
It's gonna be a nonprofit mm-hmm. called Out for Jesus.
Take it for a spin.
It's called Test Drive Testicles. It's called Ride That Shaft. It's whatever you gotta call it. But no,
stick to it.
Stick to it. Stick to it with a weird, like the S has like a hidden D in it. Like there's just like,
oh,
little,
like, on
like
the
S
side,
on that top curve just has a little, just a little D. And
yeah,
it kind of looks like a penis because it's like.
Yeah, just, yeah, I got you.
We're geniuses.
I think this is going to work.
Okay.
Yeah. So Comedy Avenue.
Oh, we're back. Yeah, yeah, he's going to edit this into two separate things. It's going to be like Comedy Avenue.
Yeah.
Penises and butt fucking. which usually go together pretty nice, I heard. A little whipped cream. You can use whipped cream as lubricant.
Who, when?
If you put enough whipped cream on a booty hole,
it just goes right in.
I have no idea. I just thought I'd say it. I had chocolate whipped cream in the fridge, okay. So I just thought I'd bring it up.
Hell yeah, go get it.
No?
Let's figure this out, dude.
This is a white couch.
You're over here making hypothesis. Let's get to experimenting.
We could use the white stuff, but not the brown stuff on this couch. It's white. Comedy Avenue. I mean, what else is there to know?
Well, what's the plans? Like, you're trying to get.
I want to do.
You had John Carden in. How was that
John
show?
John Carden, that was great.
Did that sell out?
Yeah, sold. So we sold 44 tickets, which was our like absolute chair number. That's what we had. And then you're good. We got lab mics on.
What was the marketing like?
That was hard. So the reason it sold out was I worked on it for 6 months. I put probably $300 of paid ads out. You know how like you can boost an event in Eventbrite?
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I don't remember exactly how much that helped, but they show you analytics. And I think I sold like 4 tickets that way. I told every single person that lived here that was permanently here, because a lot of my clients are military. I told all of them, if they lived here, they should come to this show, and tickets were $25, but it's worth it. And I told them exactly why. I handed out flyers probably 20 times. I put flyers in every dispensary in town with a scan code to buy tickets. I bet I have 150 hours in promo on that show, like at least.
Hmm.
And that's not really realistic to
how many
to
tickets
do.
You sell
44. So we sold 44 pre-sales. Also we're giving away two $500 gift cards to people that pre-ordered tickets. So you don't qualify if you just show up and pay at the door, you have to pre-order a ticket. So I gave away $1,000 worth of tattoos for that. Spent tons of hours and put the Facebook ads, the Instagram ads, the Eventbrite ads, and then my theory was that's going to be the show that gets a bunch of people to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And it did do that to some extent. But not all 44 at every show. Like it's not, like they're not, and I don't want the same crowd every time. I would like people to just make it a monthly or every couple weeks or whatever thing, they just come back. I mean, if somebody's there at every show, that's awesome and I love that. But realistically, if we can put 35 people in there and it's only 10 of them are the same people for, you know, two shows in the same month, that's ideal. Because then if you're running a few of the same jokes, you're not like, man, I wanna give them. Like with me, I don't go up there and just go, same old jokes again. Like I try to really give them as much new material as possible, which
well, you're in front
hurts.
Of them every week, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to do them every week. Right now I'm on every show, but we're doing them about every 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I talked to Bailey after that show. She's my friend in Abilene that has a tattoo shop. She's pretty good with marketing stuff. And she said, make them more consistent, make them weekly or bi-weekly, and make them where people expect it, and you just constantly have events out there. What I was doing at the time was pushing one event at a time. I was going, this is the thing.
Oh, I see.
Because I didn't want anybody to go, well, we'll just go to the next one. I started taking her advice on that, and it did make a difference. Like, people see that you're an established thing that's happening consistently. So I think if I didn't think it would mean we have shows with 15 people, I would start doing them weekly now. But I'm scared to do that, because if that means we have, let's just say we have 100 people a month. If we do 4 shows, that's 25 a show. But if we do 2 shows, that's 2 oversold shows.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know how that works.
We just got to find people who enjoy comedy that are willing to come out at least once a month.
Right.
How many of those could exist within 100,000?
So you go 100,000, and then you take out elderly, meaning, you know, 70 and up probably aren't going to come.
So that's 25%.
That's probably 25%. Yeah. And then you take out 18 and under.
So
now,
oh, yeah.
So now we're probably at 40,000 people, maybe 30,000 people. Then you take out half the military base because they're cycling. Some of them can't come. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in training. They're not allowed to leave the base. There's all that. So I would say our real target, the amount of people we actually could appeal to that would be interested, if you don't take out for overly religious people that don't want to do fun things, is probably 35,000. And then you go half the town, not really half, 10% of the town, if you say heck in front of them is offended. So those people aren't coming. So really you have a small...
You only need 2,000.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Yeah. I just need 2,000 people that know and want to come.
You got to start at the schools.
Which schools?
Just all schools. Just...
Public schools? College?
So here's my plan. No, but I think
we're
going
to go to elementary?
Teachers and nurses.
Yes, nurses are the best audiences.
Because they want something to laugh at.
So here's some ideas I've had. You tell me what you think. Buy one, get one free. A whole show. Just so we have a ticket price. It just makes it half price.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's
a $20 ticket.
If you come by yourself is the only time. So the idea is like, okay, I was gonna go and I was gonna just go by myself, but now I need to talk my friend into coming because it's buy one, get one free, it saves us money.
Yeah.
So maybe it ups it by 5 or 6 people. I thought about ladies' night, all females get in free. Just show your genitalia at the door, we'll let you in. No, we'll trust you. We'll trust you, it's fine. So
if you're willing to wear the dress, you can come in.
If you say I identify as female, we don't really care. We're not. I don't think a lot of guys are gonna be like, I'm a girl, do I get in free? Like, I don't think that's gonna be a real issue. I'd love to make a joke about it. Like, my parents were really mad about the Target bathrooms. I was like, you're not gonna have a big scary rapist just run in the fucking girls' room. Like, they can do that anyway. There's not a law that says you can't go in there.
Yeah.
It's just a sign that says restrooms. Like, nobody, that the trans thing doesn't affect bathrooms in my opinion at all. And I have kids, so it's like, that's
who's they're gonna go in there.
Yeah, it's like, also, that's what the stalls are for. Like, I mean, how much stuff are you doing in the bathroom where somebody's gonna see your hoo-ha? Like, if you're peeing at a urinal, you're good. And if you're in a stall, anyway, we're off on a tangent again. Marketing.
I just think that for all the pee on the floor, it's just so much pee for a place called Target.
That's a great point.
So we got Comedy Avenue. We're talking about the marketing that you
I was throwing some ideas out there. So another thing I was thinking about doing
was buy one, get one.
The ladies' night, I think, would be a hit.
Yeah.
I feel like ladies' night, more guys would come out because they'd be like, ooh, there might be ladies.
I think so, too.
And the problem is, I personally don't care if we make any money. If we could do the shows for free and somehow pay the comics without losing even more money, I would do that. If I could just lose $80 a show... every show, and it cost me $80 to do it, and the comics all walk away with $40 in their pocket, no ticket prices ever. The problem is, even when you do that, even you get all the comics to go, oh, I don't care about pay. Like, I can tell you right now, if I text Will Davis and said, hey, I got a date for you, I can't pay you, but there's going to be 50 people in there, he'd be like, I'm there. Like, he does not care. He's just going to show up. He's going to fucking annihilate the room. It's going to be a great show. He's one of my favorite people that has ever come through, by the way. He's so fucking funny.
Will Davis?
Yeah, he's great. We got him headlining soon. He's great.
We got him on Rough Tail, or the Rough and Ready show.
Oh, cool.
So,
but yeah, the thing is, if I put it free, people go, oh, well, it's free. It can't be good. I mean, you're already fighting against, it's in a tattoo shop. How good could it be? I get that. Then you're fighting with, it's $10, so these guys aren't famous. And then the other thing we figured out is when we tag everybody and we post, like, it's this person, like, let's say it's a lineup of 4 people, less people show up. When we have shows where we just say comedy night, more people show up every time.
Really?
All the shows that we've been oversold, except for the John Carden one, there were no faces or names advertised. Like the 420 show? Just 420 comedy shows. All we started out with it, but then one of the guys had some legal issues where he was supposed to not be at that show, it turns out. He told me after. He's like, hey, for like social media stuff, can you take my name off that? I was like, no problem. Turns out he wasn't supposed to leave the state.
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah.
And then we had a guy that was in the military that was like, yeah, you can put my name on it, but like don't, because it's a 420 show, don't say too much, you know, because like obviously it's about weed. It doesn't mean he smokes weed. It's not going to get him in trouble, but like it doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And then he had to drop out because he had another show that turned out to be really cool, by the way. But he had a show that if he didn't do that, he couldn't do the other one. It was working with a really big opportunity. So I was like, cool. So we lost him. And I was like, well, I'm not going to redesign the flyer twice. So I just started advertising his 420 comedy show, had Brandy make a nice, just black and white flyer. Nobody knew who was going to be on the show. We had maybe five people that had ever been to Comedy Avenue before that one. Like, everybody was new. They all loved it. Like, this was a great crowd, with the exception of there were some people, and they were cool. Like, I had no problem with them. But people to the right of the stage, that they thought everything was a conversation. And they believed it with their whole heart. That if you say, man, you ever notice? They'd be like, I do notice. And you're like, dude, okay. And so I tried to talk them at, like, I was hosting, so I tried to bring them back down a level or two. And I did a little crowd work and talked to them and was like, hey, okay, this is the crowd work section. I'm going to let you get this out of your system. When Katie comes up here, I need you to not say anything. Just laugh and enjoy it unless she asks you a question. Only speak when spoken to. I said that like 8 times to this guy. She walks out there. She's like, so we're celebrating 420. I'm not celebrating because that's my credit score. And he's like, I know that's right. My credit score is 487. Like, oh, you're like, dude, just laugh. Just laugh. But it was still, it was a great night. Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, we could summarize it with, I'm still working on marketing ideas. Comment your marketing ideas below. Comment, like, subscribe,
well,
share.
It sounds like a theme shows might
themes
be the way
good.
To go.
Yeah.
Like, we do the...
Christmas was good.
Oh, you did like
yeah,
Christmas one
was really
too?
Good, yeah.
So if you could do like a July 4th, yeah. You were doing May 4th today.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you today.
Yeah.
The 4th of July, we couldn't do on the 4th of July because we'd be competing with everything.
Everything, yeah. Going
but if
outside.
You did like a, I mean, you could just do a, I think we should do a military appreciation one. I've tried to do police and firemen. I tried to throw a show where all proceeds go to the police department. I talked to 2 cops about it. They're like, you can't give us money. And I was like,
why?
Well, they take donations man. Through certain channels. But we can't raise money for the police department. Apparently, they now think asking for donations makes them look like they're underfunded, which looks bad. And like all the different issues police officers have had, they're just like, we don't want to ask for anything. We want to just do our service that we're doing and let you guys hate us until you realize we're necessary people. And so the police department doesn't want to accept donations. I was like, y'all need some bulletproof vests or something? Like, we could probably just buy one. Like, it would probably just go, like, the proceeds go to this bulletproof vest fund. And they're like, you could talk to first responders as a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that. And I went through all these different options. And I was like, how do you not accept fucking money? Like, yeah, tax dollars. But it's not the police department's fault that the higher-up people in government aren't very good with money. Like,
yeah.
They could always use more stuff. I tried to do a show where I went to the police department 3 times trying to give them free donuts, which I thought was hilarious. Wore a fucking body cam every time. Put flyers on cop cars. And I did a whole show where cops get in free. Not a single cop showed up. Like, they don't want to show up and be like, I'm a cop, get in free. And it's like, dude, whisper it. Just be like, I'm a cop.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah, I mean, every cop I know, like, they're worried about something, some...
What about a criminal person. Night? Every criminal gets in free.
Dude, show us your mugshot night.
Yeah. Only federal,
that's a great
only federal offenses.
Yeah, well, felonies only.
Felonies.
I was gonna say federal's gonna be a little different. Like, then you're gonna get some weird people.
Yeah, you want to wait until a bigger show.
Felonies only. I don't know the difference between a felony and a. I know a felony is a bad crime. I know a federal offense sometimes like you could have felony grand larceny. That's a weird word too. And it's not a federal offense unless you stole from the government, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a doctor.
Felony.
That's Leo.
Felony, yeah.
But yeah, felonies only. I love this idea. Felonies only.
Bring your mugshot.
Bring your mugshot. You get in free.
Yeah. So there's a theme show.
And then I'm going to immediately go, hey, so it's felonies only night. Criminals get in free. For those of you that didn't know, I also did police officers get in free. I just told them directly, not online. So everybody go to your neighbor and shake their hand. Just like at church. Just be like, make friends, guys.
Yeah.
This guy right here, he's definitely a cop because look at his mustache. This guy right here might have killed a cop. We don't know.
He's definitely a criminal. Look at his stab wound.
His charges were manslaughter, but he winked when he showed us, so I don't know what that means.
He's out.
Yeah,
he's here.
He's 74. He said he did it when he's 14. It's probably a pretty bad crime, but he's out. Don't worry about it.
So, let's see. What was I getting at? So we're doing marketing. Hey, let him be. Let him do his thing, man.
Dude,
it's a big old rug. Marketing theme shows. What else? Oh, what are the future? What are future plans? What are you trying to get to?
I want to get every Sunday. I want to have an every Sunday show. I'd like to have charity shows that are monthly, that everything goes to Ronald McDonald House Charities.
Well, we did one of those this year.
We did one.
That was a really good one.
We've done a few. Matt and I are doing one again. The Try and Jokes thing.
Like that one? Do you like doing those?
I love them.
Those are
my
fun.
Favorite. The thing is, getting new people to do it is really challenging. And Matt and you are two people that actually followed the idea.
Tell everybody what it is.
Okay, so Try and Joke shows. You basically take all the material that you've written that you're like, man, I want to try this at an open mic, but I'm not sure how this is going to go. So you just like ignored it for a while. Or any new joke you just haven't tried yet. But that's usually for me. It's just ones I didn't want to take to a mic because I'm like, this is risky and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just share the stage, two comics, taking turns back and forth doing it. And then basically, like, when his joke goes really well, I tell him why I liked it. When his joke does not go really well, I make fun of him. He does the same. I did mostly just penises are like blank jokes at that show, so mine did not go well. But
it was great to bounce off of.
I learned, yeah, it was fun. But it's the thing. It's not always about me being hilarious. Sometimes it's just fun. Like, I don't need to be the funniest guy in the room at every show. I would like to, but I know I'm not going to be, so I just accept that and go, I did it with Maverick, and I just kind of let him do his thing.
Like, Maverick is so good.
It was really good.
Yeah, he's good off the cuff, too, like that.
But when you have a show like that, I'm relying, 50% of the show relies on one other person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only do it with people that are going to show up every time. And then I can only do it with people that understand what it is and will follow that. And you and Matt are the only two that 100% were just trying new stuff. Like, and I mean, you might have tried a thing or two that you had done once or twice that you're working on. But like, if I present the idea to somebody, they go, oh yeah, dude, I could do that. And then they just go up and do material. They just do all their regular material and they act like it's new because they can't risk it. They, like, most comics won't take that risk.
Really?
And I think the show's only going to work the way it's supposed to, the way it's designed. You have to take that risk.
How many times have you done that show?
I think I've done about four or five of them, and none of them have gone to plan except for the one you showed up, did the thing, and Matt. And then
did Matt do like brand new stuff? Like
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool,
dude. Yeah. If I told it to Brandy, sometimes I count that. Like I go, I've never said this. Like, and if I have said it once, like I'll be like, I'll acknowledge, hey, I tried this one time 2 years ago outside with a bunch of fans on and cars driving by, and it didn't work. So I don't know if it was the cars or not, so we're gonna do it again. Okay?
Yeah,
like, no. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But it's new. So what Matt and I are gonna start doing is making it like a every 3 months, Matt and I. And then if I can get somebody that really wants to do it and I know they're gonna stick to it and they ask, we'll do it. But otherwise, it's gonna be Matt and Andrew try jokes, because I think we work together really well because we're like polar opposites in almost every way. Like, we're obsessed with comedy, but like he's more long form. I'm definitely almost all short form. People think I'm gay. People probably think he's racist, but not gay. I got a joke about his shoes that I'm probably doing tonight. But the point is like we don't seem anything alike. And I think that's a great thing. Like, you go up there, you're like, dude, the guys are getting along over one thing, comedy. And then also the audience is really involved in those shows, where crowdwork shows and that are the only shows where I feel like the audience really feels like they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they don't realize how important they are. Like, I think you have to tell an audience every now and then, like, hey, without this big group of people here, I would be a psycho talking to a wall. Like, this would make no sense. And since there's a bunch of people here, we're having fun. Like, I don't think they know we need them. I think they think it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, we desperately need them. Like, they're more important than the comic. Like, you can't do a comedy show. You could kind of do a comedy show without a real comedian. You can't do a comedy show without a real audience.
Yeah.
Like, you could have somebody go up there that's just kind of drunk and, like, saying something, and it might turn into a comedy show. Mm-hmm. You'll never have it where I just walk up there and do 30 minutes to a wall. Like, I mean, it might be fun to watch on video. I don't know.
I doubt it.
apparently, Harlan Williams did it in a desert.
Did he really?
That's what, man, I forgot who told me that. I want to say Cody Freeman told me that, but he said that you can't find it anymore. But he's like, dude, it was fucking weird. He just went out there with a mic stand and just did an hour, just including crowd. That
sounds like Harlan.
Yeah, including, you know, like, hey, John, guy, chill out over there, buddy.
John Wallen is hosting
or opening, yeah,
and Brandon Kilo is featuring for Harlan Williams. That's in Tulsa.
Dude, John Wallen's, he might be the funniest person under 30 in the state of Oklahoma. Like,
I'm surprised he hasn't been on that jokes. Was he on the jokes one?
I think he tries every joke immediately. I think he's, yeah. I don't think he has a backlog. I think he's running jokes every hour. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be fun with him. I don't know. I feel like he'd be one I could talk to about it and be like, hey, do you understand what this is?
Because he's quick, man.
Yeah.
He's real quick.
But that's the thing. He's also, I don't see him do much crowd work, but you could just put him on
he's
a crowd
been,
show.
He's been working on it.
Well, Pat, that's like, not all he does, but he went through a phase where he was just doing crowd work and he was doing great. And then we had him at the crowd work only show, and he made us all kind of look like we needed practice. Like, it was a great show. Everybody did good. Like,
I love that.
You know the shows where everybody does good, and there's no, like, yeah, we all did good. Like, there was not a guy that did any good. There was some stuff. I did a show not too long ago at Rose City. There was, like, 7 people on the show. 6 people fucking murdered. I was not the one that didn't.
Yeah.
Luckily, I felt bad for that dude, but I saw 3 people not try to get near him. Like, you could see people were physically avoiding him because they were like, is it contagious? And I've been told he's really funny. You just have an off night. It's not like,
yeah.
It never means you suck.
No.
Like, it never means you suck. And it's crazy to me that, like,
I think the game isn't, are you good? It's how consistent are you?
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what, I mean, like, how can you because something I've been working on is you do the same joke, but maybe you change inflections or how you say it or how you react. Like, I do this one joke, where I'm like, I'm my own uncle.
Yeah.
So I always touch myself. And then it'll get a pop and, like, a good laugh.
Yeah.
But sometimes it'll get a really hard groan.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Dirty?
Like, yeah, it's so not dirty. That's the best part. It's like, but what I started
doing... It's like,
doing,
I'm not even talking about my uncle. I'm talking about a thing we all do. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, fine. One thing I used to say was like, does it make you feel better if I said I wasn't my own uncle?
That's great. Like, that's a good tag.
Is that okay? But what I started doing, if they groan, is I go, I know. Well, I don't want to either.
So I had a joke about trying to make Brandy a mixed baby, and I've had people not laugh at it, and I didn't know if they didn't get it or not. So as insurance, I was like, you do understand the joke, right? To one person, one time. And she goes, no, I didn't get it. She laughed at everything else I'd said. That was like my second to last joke. And I was like, you really don't get it? She's like, I don't. So why would making, And I was like, yeah, this lady just figured out what happened. And then I graphically described what's happening. And then that got laughs from the whole room. She's laughing at it herself. Everybody's laughing. So I started occasionally, if it gets half a room, doing it anyway. Just like, I know 90% of people know what I mean.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes I don't mention my wife's white, so that doesn't work. Like, some people might be like, you're trying to make a mixed baby. Like, okay, so your wife was gone, but she was also there? Like, some people don't think it through.
Yeah, I see.
And it's not a complicated joke by any means, but I started describing what my wife walked in on for that joke very graphically, and it gets all the people that didn't laugh to either laugh or groan, and it gets all the people that laughed the first time to laugh at the other people.
Yeah,
then it gets the whole, it pulls the room together. Or I eat a bag of dicks. That's the two options. And it is, you talk about consistency. That is most inconsistent joke.
You ever eat it and then you're just like, instead of feeling bad now, you're just like, yeah.
Actually, to be honest, I don't, okay, here's the times that I freak out on stage. If there's not enough people in the room, and it's going terribly, I go, oh dude, everybody here is focused on me. There's 10 of them and they all know I suck. But if everything goes terribly and everybody else on the show did great, I'm like, I assume these people don't like me. That's fine. Like, I do care because I want to be good. Mm-hmm. But I don't take it personal anymore at all. I'm just like, dude, you know how many people shouldn't like me? I'm fucking weird. Like, you know how many people shouldn't think penises are like gold chains is funny? 80% should not like that joke.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I'm working for that other 20 with that joke. That's why I pepper it in between other jokes. You're good. You can come through. Just don't go in front of the cameras.
You only need like 10,000 people. Maybe. Not even that, really. You just 10,000 fans.
Yeah.
That's it.
And, dude, I have at least 15 people that like me. So that's, you know.
That's pretty. You're on your way.
Yeah. I don't even need to multiply that times 1,000.
You just got to collect it in each town.
Yeah. I just got to spread them people out.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening here. But I feel like
see y'all.
It doesn't matter. That's what editing's for, and that's also like this is real.
It's There's part of the charm,
dude. It's part of the show.
It's part of the charm.
I'm a family man.
Yeah.
Dude, you following us around with that?
I know. Like,
just put mics on everybody. There's so much shit to film.
We were talking about that yesterday.
I also dabbled in magic. I'm talking to this dude from Norman named Andrew. Deal, I think is his name. You should have hit him up about. I want to have him do this. I want to have a show. This is another addition to that Comedy Avenue. I want to have a show where we advertise well enough that we know there's going to be a line. We might have an incentive like the first 20 people in get blank, like t-shirts or something, just so there's a line, and then have him performing comedy outside in the line. Oh, you're good to jump up here. I just want to make sure you weren't just flying. Have him performing for the people in line. And then have him perform for the people that are waiting, like once you're seated. Because, dude, if you get there at door time, you're waiting 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get there too late, you don't get a good seat. So that middle ground, I always think I just give him a $100 bill, have him walk around and just do close-up magic for people that are waiting. And then we film it. And then we don't put... Like, we don't show the whole trick. We just show there's a guy doing magic and show people's faces with that as a promo. And then it's like, look how much more fun you could have. Also, 20% of people at least are going to be like, fuck that, magic's gay. But, like, nobody's going to not come because there's a magician. They'll just be like, no, thank you. Like,
I mean, I think a lot of ladies have not come because there's a magician.
That's true. Spelling, that's a spelling joke. I get it. Different kind of come. I understand. I have a lot of spelling jokes. Like, a lot. I have two in a row today.
Yeah.
Let him try. I'm trying both of them for the first time as a duo. So. Yeah.
Did you write any Star Wars stuff?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't know anything about Star Wars.
Like, I got some.
I was thinking I might do like a something about Princess Leia being hot, and I was like, that's gonna be
that's solid.
One. Yeah. No, there's gonna be 100 of those.
Yeah. You should do something about Jabba the Hutt being hot. That's the.
What about Chewbacca and my dog being the same? They both like it when I butt fuck them.
You're like, dude. He's not Han Solo, really, is he?
It's like, what? His face when I said it, he's like, is this real? No. Dude, you think he would let me do that to him? Look how tough this dog is. I'm joking. He's
fucking you.
He's trying to. Yeah. This dog is definitely gay.
Yeah,
I had so many jokes that I thought would work when I first started doing comedy about my dog being gay. They ended up just the vegan dog joke. But,
it's the same thing,
vegan
one.
And gay.
Yeah.
My dog is definitely gay. He walks very like flamboyant and stuff. But I also worked on a bit that I never polished out. I just couldn't figure it out. But it seems like a very Seinfeld kind of joke, like the right person could kill it. But he would come in here every night at precisely 11:30, because that's about the time we would be in bed for the night. We might not be asleep, but we're in bed. I'd come in here to get a water, and he'd be sprawled out on the couch. I'm like, get down. And then he started waiting later. And he's like, he's trying to figure out what time is the couch mine? And then the joke was basically like, every time I walk out there, he's like, this is my couch, bitch. Like, he owns the couch. Because that's really the attitude, but I couldn't figure out how to take the thing I saw and convey it into words correctly. Like, this couch is mine, bitch, I think is a good line. But he genuinely believes after about 2 a.m., this is his. And he belongs here, and you're his bitch. Until the sun comes up. And then he's like, nah. But now he started sleeping around.
What does he do to let you know that?
You just gotta see his face. Like, did you see his face earlier, sad than happy?
Yeah.
Same thing, but like.
He'll like.
Like judgmental. Like
from across the room?
I'll walk through there and he'll just be like.
Like, you gonna mess with me?
Old black man on his porch in a good neighborhood that earned his place and doesn't give a fuck that his neighbor's a racist. Yeah!
That's that look right there, dude.
Dude.
I got the same one when kids hit my yard. It's just like, what the hell is that?
Dude, you get
when somebody turns around in my driveway, that's dude, that look.
I don't care about any of that, but do you take care of your lawn for real?
Or like, no, okay. I don't care.
I don't at all. So we had a spot where I had a riding lawnmower that I bought for $250 to Pop Willie's. Like, I just took all the shit off it to make it, like, and you just throw it in here, just, wah! That's all I bought it for. I literally was like, we're popping wheelies on this thing. And then one of the neighborhood kids fucking took the key, and I was like, I would have to at least get a pair of wire cutters to figure this out. Yeah. So I just sat there. I was like, at least this is a 10-minute project. I'm not fucking with it. Just sat there. So my grass was all fucked up, and it was just like, it was just there being ghetto. Like, you saw the outside of my house. So the whole area is just dirt. And then recently, I moved it out to the road, put a free sign on it, got rid of it. And then me and my daughter planted some seeds for plants to grow there just randomly. And in my rock garden out front, there's a little plant. But those plants, if the fleas come to my house, I have to get rid of those plants or I'll catch a fine. We're just planting cannabis in my front yard.
Just trying to...
Just seeing... Well, it's a strain I bred myself. Like, I used to grow. So I bred this strain. I named it Elon, and after Elon Musk. And I was going to do another one called, like, Falcon Heavy and name them after all the SpaceX, you know, SpaceX, oh, nice. Tesla... Model 3, I think, would be a funny straight name. People are like, Model 3? Gotta try it, buddy. Shit'll fucking drive itself. but no, I did the one strain. So I have a bunch of regular seeds that will turn into more seeds, like if you put them out there together. And I'm just basically like illegally letting them grow naturally. This is the best time of year to plant them and just watch them. We got a bunch of little sprouts out there. I cannot wait till I have a bunch of seeds and pollen and just fucking... And they're just growing by my camper and my neighbors don't even know what it is.
Like, yeah.
The thing is, if I did it in my backyard and I tried to hide it, everybody would be like, oh, he's growing, which is not illegal, by the way. You can grow in Oklahoma. You just have to have it shielded from public view. That's it. You can have up to 24 plants. You can have like 12 and 12, I think. 12 flowering, 12 seedlings. But out front, you're not supposed to do it. I'll be like, dude, the camper was shielding it from the public. They got in my driveway to see it. Like, technically, it is shielded from the public. So it'd be a close call and they'd be like, just cut. And they won't care. But... If you put it out front where everybody can see it, nobody thinks it's weed. They think it's like Canadian maple.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it out back and you try to hide it and it doesn't get hidden, somebody reports you like it's illegal. So I just, it's the same thing as like, let's say you're gonna fuck your sister, right?
What? No.
You just do it in the house and wave at the neighbors. And then they'll be like, well, surely he's not doing what it looks like because that's his sister.
Yeah.
And then you walk outside, you hold hands, you kiss her on the mouth, and you just wave at your neighbors and they go, clearly that's his wife.
Lawton is weird. Lawton is never, long weird. No.
No.
Well, I also didn't live with my sisters. I was adopted by my grandparents.
I don't live with my sister
so,
either.
But they were like...
I never told you Brandy's my sister.
No. Okay, so you guys do not seem like it.
She's not my full-blood sister. We have the same mom and we have the same dad. But other than that, we're not even related, dude.
Man, I don't see any revolving door in here. I don't know how you're going to market to these people. Okay, so how long have you been brother and sister?
Well, she became my sister when she was born, and she's younger than me. So I guess we've been brother and sister by law for about 32 years.
Is that real? Is this real?
33.
This isn't real. You're fucking around.
She's definitely not my sister.
Okay, well, how am I supposed to know? You committed too hard.
No, so this is the thing I used to do for real. I would do this in Wichita Falls because the rumors just go everywhere and people are terrible. To prove a point, I would tell my clients that I had a thing for my wife's sister. And then if that never got back, eventually I started telling them, hey, there's no way this ever gets back to my wife, right? Like, we're good. You're not going to, like, fucking tell on me, right? And they're like, I mean, I don't care what it is. Like, I don't even know your wife. I'm like, okay, cool. So I've been fucking her sister for like 10 years, dude. We've only been together for fucking 8. I've been going to town on her sister. Do it, dude. It's, and the thing is, they're so much alike, but her sister's just so much better in bed, but my wife's so much better of a person. So I really have the best of both worlds. I fuck my wife's sister, and I'm married to my wife. And they both love it because, like, she just wants sex. She just wants a husband. We're just winning, dude. I only have to have sex with my wife like every couple months. And I had this whole long, drawn out thing. Just to see how fast it gets back. My sister, or my wife does not have a sister. So it doesn't, like, there's no way this comes back as like, so you were fucking your wife's sister? Like, yeah. I can't, she doesn't exist. There's never been a sister. Multiple people told me they heard I was fucking my wife's sister. And I was like, that's hilarious. Because I can't, because his name's Cameron. I mean, I don't think he would let me, and he's not a sister. But yeah, she doesn't have a sister, so it's hilarious.
You got Cameron's number?
Yeah, I do. I play iMessage pool with him a lot.
We'll see how far we can take this bit.
He loves my Boy Scout wrestling bit. That's like, he was like, I'll come to your show if you do the Boy Scout thing again. I'm like, you came to one show, and you want me to just do one joke for you? He's like, yeah, I'll come for that joke. I was like, you could also come for all my other jokes. He's like, no, just that joke. I was like, he saw me one time. I've been doing comedy like a year. And he saw me, he was like, that joke was good.
Yeah.
And he still won't shut up about that one joke. He doesn't remember anything else I said. He has no plans to fucking come to any shows. He's just like, yeah. This,
yeah.
If you could just do the Boy Scout Wrestling League joke every time and then walk off, I'd be a happy man.
Dang, maybe that's the one. Yeah, again, Comedy Avenue.
Oh, yeah, I thought we were done with that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, big plans. What's
dog-friendly shows? No, I'm joking.
Service dogs?
No, I think that's about it. I just want to be steady. I just want it to be every Sunday. I don't have interest in it being like a business where I make a bunch of money. I do want to make money on comedy at some point because, like I was telling you earlier before we started doing this, if you make money on something, it makes it a little easier to do it without feeling like you're being frivolous. Like when I drove to Marble Falls to perform for like 20 people in a theater that seats 300, got a hotel, like, dude, you're losing, you know, $300-$400 easy. Even if you get paid $80.
Yeah.
So if I could get where I got paid 300, then it'd be like, hey, fun excuse for a family trip, I'm breaking even. And then if I can get paid 600, hey, I'm making some money, this isn't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy Avenue, I don't have that in my head. I have like, if we could get where we break even, like I could spend 150 per show on marketing and we'd bring in enough money that I could take 150 and pay the comics the remaining balance and put that right back into the show, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody thinks it's a weird business model. They're like, why would you do that? It's a weird business. It's like, the business is not the comedy club. The business is a tattoo shop. That's working. Like, I got my overhead covered for that. I just want to be able to do shows constantly. And I want to be able to bring people in from other places. Like, we got guys coming from Colorado, Ben Daly and Edward Bell. Very funny comics. They're really funny. The point is, they hit me up and they were like, hey, we're looking for another venue. We're going to be in Oklahoma City around this time. They're coming from Denver. They're touring the whole middle of the country. They're really good comics. They deserve a good audience, and I'm worried I'm gonna only be able to bring them fucking 20 people. But I'd like to be able to confidently tell everybody every time we have a show, we at least have 35 people. And it's always a rabid, hilarious 35. Our normal shows are $10. For your show, we're gonna do 30. That way you actually get enough money to make it worth you traveling out here. And then, okay, what's 30 times 25?
Yeah, what is it? All right.
So what's 30 times 25?
750, dude.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
He used a calculator. We're terrible actors. Okay. Anyway.
You just reset it.
All right, let's do it again. All right, keep this all in. Okay, so you could do like, if I had somebody come out, 30 times 25, what's that?
I think it's like 750.
You nailed it, dude. Good job. Yeah. You're like a math magician. Okay, but the point is, like, I could give them, okay, 750, they can get a hotel for $150.
Yeah.
They can get a meal, they can get their gas, they can come home with $400 in their pocket. They were gone for 2 days. That's
a good deal.
That's great.
That's a good deal.
That's all I want. Also, I love the idea of getting to a point where like somebody like, okay, soon Joe Caparillo's coming to town. He's gonna be in Bricktown. I always thought he was hilarious. Somebody like that that's not crazy big anymore. He's not like selling out arenas. He's just doing great at clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like that, I would love for them to be like, oh yeah, I heard John Carden told me, so then he told Big J went, and then this guy, and it snowballs up to where Big J and people like that are coming through, going, hey, I got 3 nights in OKC. I was supposed to fuck off all day Sunday and then go back Monday because my flight got mixed up. Can I just come do, just pop in and just take over the show? Yes, you can. If I had every Sunday show, there's already people coming, everybody I know would be happy to get bumped for Big J,
yeah,
or Dan Soder or Ralph Barboza, or really anybody. Like, I love the idea of having that. That's what Comedy Crunch is doing. Like, they got people like Bill Burr just go, hey, I just need a room to try some new shit in. Can I pop in? And Bill Burr shows up and murders in a room that should have maybe 80 people with 400 people packed in that bitch. Like, I don't know what the real numbers are, but like, if you told me to guess their legal capacity in America based on square footage and the layout of this place, I would say probably 80. And I guarantee you there's at least 250 people in there. Like, it's tight.
Yeah.
And I mean, they use the fucking, you know, like little like benches on the walls that are almost feel like a booth at a restaurant, but they're like this big.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best seats because you're right up by the stage and there's a bunch of them. And then there's tables and chairs, but the tables are small like most comedy clubs, and there's like, they're putting way too many chairs per table.
Yeah.
And then there's people standing back by the bar. Like, it's crazy. Like, I want to go to Dublin just to go to that again. And I'm also going to try to work up a good enough submission tape and the balls to just message Danny O'Brien and be like, hey, I'm American. I have no idea how this is gonna go, but y'all got tourists. Can I come do like a guest set?
Yeah.
And if I can, I will find you drugs or whatever I gotta do. If you're into hookers, I'll find you one. I'll pay for it. I don't know if I'm into that, but you
dude,
know.
Dude, find a tattoo gun or something.
Dude, like, I'll
trade them. Yeah.
Fly with one.
Yeah.
For this
thing. Like I wouldn't know if you can just fly with
those. Yeah. It's like a razor.
That's why I didn't that electric work today. I was like, well, if we don't have a great show, then at least I'll make some money and I'll be able to pay the people.
Yeah. I think we really scheduled the show around you doing the electrical. I think it's kind of how it went.
Well, I planned it. Yeah. I was like, it would be cool to do a show.
I was like, yeah, that's perfect. But I'm a big Sunday show guy, and I do think Saturdays, in theory, should be better, and I think today's going to be good. But I think Lawton needs a lot of training, put it that way. Like, that we all do the thing we do every Saturday night. Like, it's just, that's what we do. Like, I eat at Ted's almost every Monday. Just a bunch of habitual.
That's like
people.
What you guys do.
It's
like
a Mexican restaurant that the kids eat free at, so yeah.
Yeah.
We go, hey.
Yeah, that's the reason to eat at Ted's.
Y'all want to eat out?
Yeah.
It's only $38.
That's not bad, dude.
No.
For five people?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We used to eat at Kudo, the nicest restaurant in town. It used to be $40 for everybody. COVID hits, shit's like $110. Like, dude, it's so expensive. I mean, I can't do $110 for five people. That's not, I'll make my own. Also, the kids like it when I cook. Like I make this shit called Shaggy Dog Chicken. I put peanut butter in it. I can't explain the whole recipe, but there's peanut butter part of the recipe. I made this shit up at a Broken Bow cabin because we were almost out of everything, and we just had chicken and a little bit of everything because we went to Broken Bow for like a week, bought all the groceries. It was the last day.
Was this those like glamour camp kind of area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck it, we're hooking it up, dude. So I started squeezing out peanut butter and putting a little soy sauce and barbecue sauce and doing all this shit. And made chicken, and like one of my clients had this joke about a shaggy dog that's annoying as fuck, so it got shaggy dog stuck in my head. And the kids were like, what are you making? I was like, oh, it's a shaggy dog. And then they were like, what? And I was like, it's called shaggy dog chicken. You never heard of it? And it's their favorite thing.
Really?
Yeah.
And now you just make that.
Yeah, and I don't eat meat, so it's really weird. I haven't eaten meat since I'm 17. I make steak and chicken like a motherfucker.
But you don't eat it?
No, I've been told it's good though. Yeah. I believe them. They wouldn't lie to me, would they, Sophie? Sophie loves my chicken.
Well, they wouldn't ask for it again.
That'd no, that's how you know. Dude, my dad, one time my mom made... My brother is a big hunter, and he got a deer, and it got processed and all that. My dad was very adamant about, hey, keep your stupid deer meat on this side of the deep freezer. I don't want it near my steaks. Like, he was very, like, he's grossed out by the idea of eating deer. My mom did not forget that, but just didn't respect that. Made chicken fried venison. My dad had like, he had a big piece of it, ate it. He was like, this is really good. This is some good chicken fried steak. Has another one. He's on piece number three, pigging out on this shit. And he goes, you really, and it, my dad has never complimented my mom ever. He goes, you've really outdone yourself today, Patty. This is amazing. And then one of my brothers goes, yeah, dude, deer is so much better than beef. And my dad freaked the fuck out. Didn't talk to anybody at the table for a week. I didn't see him for the next 2 days. Hid in his room, super mad, super embarrassed, like really serious about it.
What's his hang up with deer?
It's not cow. It's not like, it's not farmed for food. I don't fucking know. I think he's fine now. I think he'd probably eat venison if he has him now.
Yeah.
He's just like, I mean, he had a stressful job. He's a little weird. But he like lost his fucking mind over this venison. And I still to this day think that might be the funniest thing that I've ever seen happen ever. But I don't know why. I'm just like I would be mad if somebody tried to intentionally feed me meat if they told me, like, they know I don't eat meat and they're like, hey, let me sneak meat into this. But if somebody was like, hey, try this out, didn't say what it was, I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. It's a burger. And I've been into it and they're like, that's bison. And I already eat regular burgers. I'm like, oh shit, bison's pretty good. Like,
yeah.
Like that's Mears store and restaurant out, it's in Mears, Oklahoma. It's right around the corner from here. They have buffalo burgers that are this fucking big. It's bison. It's apparently better. I don't fucking know. I haven't had one in 20 years, but they're good. Okay. You ever eat dog?
No.
You want to try some?
No. You have dog?
I have.
What are we doing? What kind of eat?
All right. On that note.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing here.
And we're going to get back. all right, guys. Well, thanks for watching. We really appreciate it. Dave behind the camera. Give him a hey. Hey, Dave.
Good for Dave.
Yeah, thanks. And then Andrew, thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it. Thanks for letting me come to your house and do a show at your spot.
I never said you could come.
Oh, don't let me have a shower.
Lots of conditioning.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Dude, I appreciate it, man.